Personally, I like some of the fat on the meat. I think fat has a lot of flavor. Yeah, it's all the flavor.
Nestled between a Brazilian restaurant and an African shop on the north end of the city market is a restaurant that's putting its own stamp on a local staple. I'm Brian Ellison. Today's Memorial Day weekend edition of Central Standard is all about that signature piece of bone and fat and meat that some of us Kansas Cityans like to slather in barbecue sauce. We'll have a lesson in anatomy and our critics' recommendations, too. But first, KCUR's Laura Ziegler takes us to this new joint in the city market to see how the chef owner has developed a new take on our beloved ribs.
My name is Carlos Mortera. I'm the owner of The Bite in the city market. We've been open down there for 2 years now. We are a sandwich shop that we have a lot of flavors from Mexican and Asian, mainly Korean cuisines. And we like to integrate that to our sandwiches.
So tell me about this Mexican-Korean cuisine. Is it common around here?
There's been a larger population of Koreans coming in. Haven't really seen any Mexican-Korean in Kansas City. There's pops little here and there. But I feel like we're one of the only ones that are doing it this way. Korean and Mexican food go really hand in hand. They have some of the similar ingredients and similar ways of cooking stuff, like low and slow, a lot of stews and a lot of vegetables and meat driven menus. So that's why I think it's two of the more really good marriages of cuisines. In that. We have one of our most popular is the Señor Chang, which has beef short ribs that we cook and braise for about 6 hours, and they're all marinated in a Korean galbi, which is the short ribs. We use a lot of soy sauce, gochujang, ginger, garlic, some sugar in it, and that's kind of our take on their beef short ribs. We shred them, we pull them apart, and we put them inside a Mexican bolillo, which is...
So we'll just take the bolillo and split it in half. We'll spray a little bit of oil on it just to get it a nice crust.
You toast it a little bit.
And we use some Mexican ingredients like cilantro and queso fresco.
Some queso fresco, which is a Mexican style of cheese, salty cheese. We'll add some radishes, some pickled onions. We've got some jalapenos. We have a sriracha crema, which is sriracha sauce mixed with some of this Mexican crema.
So is it hot when you eat it?
It is not. We do it more for the flavor. The crema will tame down the heat on the sriracha. And then we have some cilantro just for some freshness. I grew up in, Lenexa. Moved to Kansas City. Worked in a Korean restaurant when I was washed dishes there. That's when I kind of fell in love with the food. And I just eating it. There was a time that I just wanted to learn more about Korean food. So I will ask the ladies to teach me how to make kimchi, how to make all this other stuff. We're not just Korean. We have some, like a little, one of our sandwiches kind of a representation of a Vietnamese banh mi, the kofu.
Do you think the Señor Chang is most popular because it plays on that commitment, passion about barbecue in Kansas City?
I think so, yeah. That's the sandwich that started it all. I love barbecue also. I like Korean food. And I like sandwiches. I really like sandwiches. We wanted to have sandwiches that they look different, but people will have some kind of flavor recognition. And that's what we went for, a lot of like the meats that you usually see in barbecue, like beef short ribs. We're using a lot of pork. Sometimes we have a pork rib specials that we try to do. And on the Señor Chang, we were gonna go for a brisket or some other cut, but the short ribs are just more juicy and they have more fat that allows it for being so tender and soft that whenever you take them out of the oven, they just kind of fall off the bone, and we are able to shred it and make a sandwich of it.
So it may only be 10 a.m., but I am here to tell you that it's not too early to be salivating at the thought of ribs. We're back live in the KCUR studio with Lee Meisel. He's the owner of Leeway Franks out in Lawrence. Lee, good to have you here.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we just heard KCUR's Laura Ziegler talking with Carlos Mortera at The Bite in City Market about the Señor Chang short rib sandwich.
Love that name.
It is a great name. Should we be surprised to hear about ribs coming from a Mexican-Korean fusion restaurant and not just from a barbecue joint?
No, I don't think so. I think that ribs are pretty common across the board. They're approachable. They're fairly easy to prepare properly, and the end result is just a very, as he had mentioned, they're just very moist and tender, and they lend themselves really well to a lot of different styles of cuisine.
Yeah, what makes the short ribs so moist and tender?
Well, they're filled with connective tissue and fat. So
let's just be honest, yeah. It's the fat.
and there's a lot of good flavor in that fat. And then for long extended periods of low temperature cooking, the connective tissue itself begins to dissolve and break down into sort of gelatinous little pockets in the meat. Mm. So when you sink your teeth into something like that, first it's very soft, and then it has a very unctuous sort of mouthfeel.
What exactly is the short rib? And maybe we have to even take a step back. I think I know my short ribs from my spare ribs when I see them on a plate, but I'm not sure I know the difference on the cow. Give us a little lesson about that.
Well, short ribs, we're typically speaking about beef.
Right.
And there's a few different styles of cut of short rib. The flanken cut, which is a cross cut, are typically thinner and can take marinade really well. They can be grilled. Like he had mentioned, the Korean kalbi is marinated in soy sauce and gochujang and some other pretty – it can carry the marinade real well.
Uh-huh.
And those can be directly grilled and a few different applications for that, where the English cut are a little bit bigger chunks where they're not necessarily cross-cut real thin. They take a longer period of time to cook. And they can be used in different types of braises. If you know any Italian grandmas out there make their Sunday gravy, they might want to throw a couple of those in to make the braise come together real nice as a sauce.
So where on the cow are we talking about?
Oh, here? So we're talking about basically what attaches to the belly or the plate of the beef.
Okay.
But really, short ribs can come from several different sections: plate, brisket, even parts of the shoulder. But we're talking about pretty much the side of the animal on the belly, and where that attaches to the backbone of the spine.
That's interesting. So it's not always the same ribs when we're saying the short ribs.
No, it's not actually. And unless you're kind of savvy with the anatomy, or you have a good butcher, you might not know the difference when you're buying them at the store.
And how is rib meat different than, say, the steak that we're eating?
It has, obviously there's a different texture and a much more intense, when we're talking about beef, it has a much more intense beef flavor, whereas a steak might be a little bit leaner, have less connective tissue, and then the cooking methods are different too, so you end up with different textures and a few different flavor combinations at the end of it.
Okay, and so help us distinguish then, since we're still talking about beef,
mm-hmm.
between short ribs and other ribs. I mean,
okay.
what are the, where is it just a matter of where they're located, or is it also how they're cut and how they're prepared?
A little bit of both. Okay. So in different, say with pork, when we're talking about pork spare ribs, technically they come from the same point. There could be 11 to 13 ribs. But again, from the belly, basically right behind the shoulder, it goes all the way back, and spans, that entire area of the body. It just depends on the animal. We have a pretty strong barbecue culture here in mm-hmm. Kansas City. So when we talk about spare ribs, we're pretty much always talking about pork. And then
right.
we're talking about a pretty specific cut of spare ribs that have been trimmed to be very rectangular, very symmetrical for to be able to cook evenly when people are throwing these on the smoker.
Well, and I mean, let's talk about pork, since you're right. It is sort of barbecue crazy Kansas
sure.
City.
Yeah.
Taste-wise, texture-wise, why would a person choose to eat pork ribs versus beef ribs?
I like to say, to kind of put it easy, if you're one of those people that likes pork chops and you like the bone-in pork chop, and you find yourself, when you're done eating the main meat, you pick up the bone and you start gnawing on it a little bit to get all those little pockets of meat off from there. If you're that type of person, and I am, I'm not ashamed.
Good to own it.
Yeah. Right. Then, you know, that's definitely something that you'll be after. Where if you're more of a steak guy, if you like, you know, the flavor of beef and you know, that I'd say that the beef short ribs are a really great example of a very intense beef flavor.
There's also some difference in how you're going to cook these things for maximum flavor, right?
Absolutely.
So what's the difference?
Well, you know, the size of the beef makes them a little bit more, you know, it's more of a time investment. So you can't just throw these on the smoker, give them 3 hours, wrap them up in foil, throw them in your oven to keep them warm, and then they're going to be ready. You kind of need a longer game plan when it comes to making spare ribs, particularly
pork in particular.
Oh yes, right. Yeah. So and then there's, you know, one of my favorite preparations of pork ribs is at Chinese restaurants. They do a great job. You know, people don't really think about it, but almost every Chinese restaurant I've ever been to does a great example, whether it's salt and pepper style, kind of Cantonese style, or whether they do like a black bean, you know, the Chinese black bean style. There's a lot of great preparations for pork. I think they lend themselves to more diverse types of cuisine as well.
So you are, of course, a butcher, right?
Yes, sir.
So we talk a lot about restaurants. We'll have the food critics in here in a little bit to talk about where we can get good ribs already cooked for us. But when people come into your shop and don't know anything about cooking ribs, what do you suggest for them? What kind of cut do you prepare for them, and how do you tell them to cook?
You know, I think that either the trim spare ribs, the St. Louis style cut, which has the majority of the cartilage, the sternum, and some of the odd ends trimmed off, so they're nice and square.
Just, can I stop here? Why is it, sure, the St. Louis cut? Why is it not a Kansas City cut?
You know, there actually is a Kansas City cut. It's not very well known. There's a little bit more connective tissue attached to them. They don't remove as much of the rib tips. Some of those terms, it kind of gets a little vague after a while. Uh-huh. There's, you know, one thing that makes some of the names are kind of ambiguous, because there's always maybe two or three different names for the same cut.
I see.
That's why it's good to know your butcher. He can you know, set you on the right path. I say start out with St. Louis cut or even baby backs. You don't have to, even if you don't own a smoker, you can do a really good baby back style rib in the oven in a few hours, and everyone's going to have a good time with that.
Yeah, give us our pig anatomy lesson now. We had our cow anatomy lesson. Mm-hmm. Where on the pig are we going to find these different kinds of ribs? Where's the baby back?
Well, the baby backs come off from they are basically what wraps around the loin. They're typically attached to your bone-in pork chops, okay, the rib chops. Now, when the rib or when the loin is pulled off and it's been boned out, then you're left with the baby back ribs attached to the spine, which is then trimmed away. So then all you're left with is those, and they're more curved in shape. If you know, as they go up towards the spine, they curve a little bit more. The spare ribs are flatter. There's a little bit more bone on the spare ribs compared to the baby backs. The baby backs have a little bit more meat to them, and if you know, you're one of those pork chop people that likes picking up the bone when you're done and chewing on it, then those are really probably the best option.
We were asking on social media this morning for input, and I did have one friend, Kelly, who says he really likes the flavor of ribs, but he feels like a barbarian when he's putting his teeth on the bone and trying to eat the food off of it.
Well, I mean, I think that's there's no reason to be self-conscious. I don't know. When I'm grabbing if there's a bucket of chicken, I'm going to grab the drumstick because it's already got a handle on it. So,
right. Well, that does make sense, doesn't it?
It's a little bit of a convenience thing.
You know, we're talking about pork. We're talking about beef. There are other animals that give their ribs for our delight.
Absolutely.
Like what?
Goat is, I think, becoming a much more popular meat.
Goat?
A goat. Yeah.
Really?
Particularly, you know, Kansas has got some great farmers, Missouri as well. And I know several people who raise sheep and they move down to goat because it's kind of an up and coming protein actually on the market. But there's also lamb ribs, you know, and I think there's a few places in town that even sell them. I know I think the last time I was at Local Pig, they were selling lamb ribs.
I have to say, jumping back to the goat for a second, mm-hmm, I don't think of that as a meat that at least in the United States, we we eat very much. So what's the flavor like?
I kind of say it's somewhere between beef and lamb a little bit. It's got a little bit of the lambiness, a little bit of that gamey flavor, but it's got a more intense sort of mineral rich character like beef. And it's a little bit redder, maybe a little bit leaner depending on the breed. I think it's delicious. It again, for things like curry and stuff like that, mm-hmm. it just carries flavor really, really well.
Hmm. Yeah. So. And what's the deal with lamb ribs? I know a lot of people really like them.
Well, there's not a lot to them is the thing. So you kind of have to work for it a little bit. They also, another good application for things like lamb or goat ribs or just ribs in general is if you're making a stock or a soup or a stew or something like that, they're great additions to any of those because they have so much connective tissue in it. You'll just add so much more body and depth to any food that you add them to.
So when you survey the vast array of rib options available in the world, what is your favorite? What are your top couple favorites?
Well, top of the list is still going to be one of the – when I worked at Bowling's. I did a stint at Bowling's for a while a few years back. And staff meal was very, very important there because you work all day and you get a couple of staff meals while you're there. And when the guys would make their salt and pepper style Cantonese, they had a big butcher block that they'd pull out and the big cleaver. They'd start hacking these things up and they'd cut them into about 1-inch cubes. And first they'd steam them and then they'd kind of braise them and then they'd flash fry them at the end, stir fry them with some salt and pepper and some scallions. And just that with some rice was like my favorite. And I still crave it. And now that I don't work there, I don't get the staff meal. So.
and now I'm craving it as well. Do you feel like with we talked about the barbecue heavy culture of Kansas City, do you feel like as tasty as barbecue ribs are, they're getting too much of the rib attention? Are we missing out on the variety of cultures and ways of enjoying ribs?
I think so. We kind of get caught up in this, kind of maybe one-dimensional sort of method. And that's, what a lot of it is kind of the DIY mentality of barbecue where, everybody can master of your own universe back there in the backyard when you got your smoker fired up and people really, there's a lot of appeal to that. There's so many different things you can do with ribs and all the different types of ribs. I think that beef ribs will probably start making a kind of a emergence here in Kansas City. I know there's places you can get them, but they're quite popular in Texas barbecue. Mm-hmm. And they're delicious. They're really wonderful. It kind of reminds me of the bone from the prime rib a little bit. It's got some of that real intense beef flavor. And I think they become pretty popular.
And as you go back to your butcher shop here later today, what are you going to pull off the shelf and make for your dinner now that you've had all this conversation about ribs today?
I don't know if I'm going to have ribs. I don't know if I'm going to have time. I might have a sausage, though.
Well, all right. Well, enjoy that. Well, hey, Lee Meisel of Leeway Franks in Lawrence, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Really good to have you here. When KCUR's Central Standard returns, the food critics will help us pull some more meat off this bone. Where can we all experience ribby deliciousness in the metro? We'll find out in just a minute. Stick around. I'm Brian Ellison in for Gina Kaufman, and you're listening to KCUR's Central Standard, where we're talking today about ribs. We've been hearing why that particular combination of bone and fat and meat is so delicious, and now it's time to find out where in town you can get it. Let's meet the critics, Charles Ferruza from The Pitch. Good morning to you, Charles.
Good morning, Brian.
Always good to see you. And Mary Block of Around the Block, hello.
Hi, Brian.
Glad to see you again.
And thank you.
Bonjwing Lee, who's a photographer and food blogger. The world knows him as the Ulterior Epicure. Good to have you here.
Hi, good morning.
Glad you're here. So let's start not with the where, but the what. Charles, are you more of a pork rib man or a beef rib man?
I like them really. I like them both equally. It just depends what I'm craving at the time. I'm not discriminatory when it comes to ribs.
I'm glad that you're inclusive on the matter. That's good. Mary, why do you think ribs occupy this special place in our food culture in Kansas City?
Well, I think it's such an, barbecue is such an institution now, and ribs are a big part of that. And I think it's just the way they're prepared. People love Kansas City barbecue, and ribs and burnt ends, I would say, are what we're most known for.
Right, which we didn't talk about the relationship of the burnt end to the rib, but of course there wouldn't be burnt ends if there wasn't for ribs.
Exactly.
Bon Chuang, you've eaten all over the world. What's the best rib you've ever had?
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's a tall order. I don't know. That's a good one. But I think I would agree with Charles.
Give us one of the best ribs you've ever had.
Mm. You know, I actually kind of just like hometown barbecue ribs here in Kansas City. But I do agree with Charles. I don't discriminate between beef or pork if it's done well.
Have any of you had the others that Lee mentioned in our first segment, goat ribs? Or
I've had lamb ribs, but not goat ribs.
I'd like to try goat ribs, though. Yeah. They sound kind of good.
Yeah, a little gamier, he said, but carries the flavor well. Well, I guess I do want to touch on this question of barbecue versus non-barbecue ribs, that we think barbecue when you hear the word ribs in Kansas City. Are we too hung up on barbecue? Or should we be more open to the diversity of rib experiences?
It's Kansas City, so.
Actually, now I can think of one of my favorite ribs. It's actually not barbecue. My grandmother used to make these steamed Chinese ribs, and they are delicious.
Yeah, Lee was mentioning that as well, that we don't necessarily think of Chinese restaurants as the place to go for ribs, but they all have really good ones.
Right.
Bon Chuang, would they have been like short ribs?
No, they would have been riblets, like baby back ribs, super juicy, super fatty, tiny.
Yeah, unpack that term for us, riblets, because several restaurants have those on the menu. What is a riblet?
I guess they do.
Aren't they just ribs cut very short lengths?
Smaller ribs. Yeah, right, exactly.
All right.
Yep, they cut them in half.
Right.
All right, so how did your grandmother make those
ribs? So she would take glutinous rice, when it's the kernels. She would bash them up until they were like little bits. She would coat the pork ribs with this rice, and she would put it in a little bowl with some ginger and soy sauce and some, I don't know what else, mirin maybe, and then just steam it. Huh. And then the rib would cook on the outside, and you'd have these riblets that were just sort of like coated in sticky rice. It was delicious.
Wow.
And there are a lot of recipes. If people don't want to grill or smoke ribs, there are a lot of oven ribs recipes that have hoisin and a lot of other Chinese ingredients come out really sticky, and they're great.
Well, so let's come back to the barbecue then. Let's keep talking about that. Are there dishes around town that stand out to you as the non-barbecue versions of ribs that are really outstanding? Mary?
You know, the short ribs, which I know Ward talked about earlier, can be done in so many ways. In the winter, it's comfort food, and the ribs are still whole and usually slow and low, braised with grits or mashed potatoes or whatever.
Right.
But in the summer or other times of year, the short ribs are pulled off the bone, confit, put in ravioli with bone marrow, whatever, and they make great dishes.
You know, when I was growing up, I don't remember short ribs having the sort of presence they have now. I don't know if it's because people just didn't have creative ways of making them, or were they more expensive then? I don't know.
I might be wrong about this, but I kind of think they came to the fore when we went through the recession and chefs were trying to find a different way to...
Because I remember a chef telling me once that back in the 1980s, short ribs were inexpensive. Mm-hmm. They were cheap. And then, you know, when they became trendy, they were suddenly very, very expensive.
Yeah. Where do you go for your short ribs that are now becoming so popular?
Well, I like the short ribs at Story Restaurant in Prairie Village. I thought they were especially delicious.
And
Very succulent.
The Rieger right now has a short rib confit with pickled beet, celery root, bone marrow, and greens. It's lovely.
Mm. It sounds rich.
Yeah, it is.
It does sound
good.
Rich.
How about you, Bon Chuang? Your short ribs on your list?
It's like I said with Mary, I usually don't pay attention to them until it's wintertime. They are just so heavy because they're usually braised. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I think it's one of those pieces of meat that needs a lot of long, slow cooking.
Well, I want to invite our listeners to join us for a conversation about where they find the best ribs in town. Where do you go? Go ahead and fawn over your favorites, barbecue or otherwise. Call us at 816-235-2888. You can also tweet at us. We're at KCURCST. We would love to hear your choices for ribs around Kansas City. Let's break the seal and talk about barbecue now. Where do we go for traditional barbecue ribs? What are some of your favorites? Bon Chuang?
I love the ribs at Joe's Kansas City. Used to be Oklahoma Joe's.
Right.
Now called Joe's Kansas
but
City.
But always in our minds and hearts will be Oklahoma Joe's.
I just think that they're very consistent on the ribs. I like them to pull off the bone cleanly. And I just think they do a good job.
Yeah. Mary? Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, they often get the nod as, you know, the best in the country, and it's hard to argue with that assessment. I also like the ones at Danny Edwards. Same kind of preparation, very lean, tender, lots of meat. I just don't like it when they're full of fat. And Joe's and Danny Edwards do a really nice job with that.
What? Tell me, what do they do that's different? Is it just the sauce, or what's the?
I would say, you know, they all have their own secret of how long they smoke them and everything, but they're all fairly similar. I think it's comes down to the sauce as much as anything.
Yeah. How about you, Charles?
I'm a lifelong LC's fan. I know this was on your list as well, Bonjwing. I think their ribs, they smoke them a long time, and they have a really great smoky flavor, but they're also really meaty. I like my ribs to be meaty. Mm-hmm.
They are more meaty, and you kind of have to tug them off the bone a little bit. They're a little more, they're a little more shaggy on the bone.
Right, yeah. But I like that. And they're very delectable, and, you know, after a couple ribs, I'm stuffed. I mean, they were truly meaty ribs.
Have any of you had the Senor Chang sandwich that we heard about in the top of the show?
I have. I think it's great. I was saying it's kind of like the Mexican version of a banh mi sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of flavor. And I like all the Mexican condiments, the jalapenos and whatnot.
I think a lot of people might think, well, the reason you're using rib meat is for the flavor of the meat. Why would you cover it up with these other flavors? But
well, it's just like having a pulled pork sandwich, only this is shredded beef instead, really.
Yeah. We should also say that short ribs are incredibly rich. It's you know, you can't compare them, for example, to pulled pork, because we're talking about a rich, rich meat dish.
Yeah.
So. It's also significantly larger than the ribs that I think most of us think of as barbecue ribs, which are usually pork a lot of times.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as you guys think about barbecue ribs, and obviously you can get them in any barbecue place around town, but you even see them in places that are not traditional barbecue places around town, right?
Well, Houston's is a great example of that. I usually don't recommend a chain restaurant on this show, but theirs are incredibly tender, definitely fall off the bone, totally consistent. People, you know what you're getting when you go to Houston's. My kids used to love those. They couldn't get anything else when they went. They started by sharing a slab, and as they grew up, they each had their own, and they're very expensive, but very good.
Worth the money.
Yeah.
816-235-2888 is the number to call if you have recommendations for your favorite barbecue. I confessed in the first segment that I'm not a big fan of getting my fingers messy. Are there obviously a short rib sandwich or something? I guess you eat that with your hands as well, but it's a little less messy than the saucy ribs. Any other particular recommendations for those who don't want the whole carnivore experience?
You just take white gloves with you. Uh-huh. They fit easily in your pocket, and you wear them, and then you throw them away when dinner's over.
I don't know. I think that's kind of a non-starter. If you're not going to eat ribs with your hands.
I'll tell you one is the Crown Prime Rib Beef's ribs at Jack Stack. They're the closest thing you're going to find to Texas barbecue. And you could get one rib for your entire meal.
Can't you eat those with a fork and knife? Yeah,
exactly. Right. That's okay. Where I was going with that.
I mean, like you could order a rack of lamb.
Right.
And
right.
Then you could eat with a fork.
Right.
And, yeah, right.
Yeah. But these beef ribs, I mean, it is, I bet there's 8-9 ounces on a rib, and you don't have to pick it up. In fact, it wouldn't make sense to pick it up.
Right.
So there you go.
All right. So thank you for helping my my no messy fingers needs there. 816-235-2888, 235-2888 to join the conversation. Let's talk to Tam in Midtown. Tam, good morning. Welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning. My absolute favorite barbecue place, and we've eaten at all of them, is LC's. And I know that I've heard Charles, I turned my radio off when I made the call. I know that Charles has mentioned them in the past, but they have them, my partner and I have this running joke that all barbecue in Kansas smells good, but sometimes it's a trick. And because it doesn't, they don't all. I mean, there's such a wide variety of how they cook things. But our favorites are LC's burnt ends and their ribs. Their sauce is amazing. They cut their own fries. And we've been going to them since they were a little bitty two-seater place.
Yeah.
Over on Swart Parkway. And
so another vote for LC's. Is it the kind of the culture of the place that as much as the food?
Oh no, it's the food.
All right, fair enough. Thanks so much for the call, Tim.
I mean, the culture's fine, but it's a, you know, it's kind of a hole in the wall sort of place. It's not fancy like Jack Stack or anything like that, but the food is absolutely amazing. So,
All right, we'll chalk up another vote for LC's. Thanks so much, Tam. Appreciate it, Charles. She supports your decision.
You know, it's LC's is a classic. I mean, there just aren't places. Unfortunately, there aren't that many places like that anymore. You know, it's right up there with Arthur Bryant's in terms of iconic.
Yeah, what we haven't mentioned some of those iconic places, incidentally, the Gates, the Arthur Bryant's. Is that just not ribs, not as much their thing?
I think every iconic barbecue joint in Kansas City has its own unique specialty. Like I've never been a huge Gates ribs fan, but there's so many other things on that menu I like.
And I love the ribs at Bryant's. That's usually what I order. Mm-hmm. That and the French fries. Sometimes I hold the ribs and just have the French fries.
Bonchwing, if you just have one trip out of your house to go get classic barbecue ribs, where do you go?
I probably would be Joe's, because they're consistent. But Arthur Bryant's and Gates, I think also for me, a lot of barbecue is sauce specific, and that kind of drives. I'm not a huge fan of the Arthur Bryant's original sauce. I'm not a huge fan of the Gates sauce. So I don't think of them as my first choice for barbecue.
Right. I was interested to hear that with cooking the pork ribs, enhancing the flavor is pretty much what matters most, because the flavor of the meat itself isn't as intense as it is with, say, beef ribs.
Or I think, and I also think we in Kansas City we like our barbecue wet with a lot of sauce, so it kind of tends to cover up whatever flavor there is in the meat.
816-235-2888. Let's talk to Isaac in Kansas City. Isaac, good morning.
Good morning.
What are your favorites?
So I wanted to throw a little bit of a curveball into the mix.
Uh-oh.
There's a lot of pork ribs, but Big T's Barbecue, which is just a couple of blocks down Snyabar from LC's, which I am a lifelong devotee, but Big T's on the weekends, if you get there, sometimes they run out, you know, mid-Saturday, but they'll have beef short ribs, and they're great.
I saw nodding heads when he mentioned Big T's. Bonjwing?
Yeah, and just to clarify, that's the letter T apostrophe S.
Right, not T.
Big T's, right.
Such a big T's.
The first time someone told me that. But I've been there, and actually, I don't know about the short ribs. I'll have to go check them out. But I do like going there for their rib tips, which sometimes you will find when they cut off the very top portion of the ribs and they just sell them separately. It's where all the connective tissue and the little sort of, I call it the knuckle. I don't know what it's actually called technically, but I love eating. I like gnawing on them. They're full of fat and flavor, but I go there for the rib tips.
Okay. So the rib tips, would that be the opposite end of the burnt ends then?
Well, the burnt end actually comes from the brisket. That doesn't actually come from a rib.
But
the rib tips is that little, I don't know what to call it. It's like the knuckle. I just call it the knuckle. It's at the very top of the rib and it's got all this connective tissue and like cartilage up there, and it's full of flavor, and I like it.
Well, you were jumping in there, Isaac.
Oh, just saying, you got to respect a joint that can hold its own so close to LC's for a number of years.
Yeah, Charles, you're a fan of Big T's.
I do like Big T's a lot, and I don't think I've ever had the ribs there. I usually go with more traditional things like brisket.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Isaac. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Let's talk to Matt in Leawood. Matt, where do you recommend? Matt, are you? Let's try you now. Go ahead, Matt.
Are you there?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Brobeck's at 107th and Row. That is probably my most favorite one that's here local.
Tell us about Brobeck's.
And it's a small family-owned, and they always have really good ribs. The ribs are very meaty, and the sides are very good.
Mary.
My favorite thing about Brobeck's is that they have everybody else's sauce in town, so you can pick your bottle and choose what you want to put on your ribs or
Do they not have their own?
They don't. I I don't think that they have their own. Just a big tub of barbecue sauces from all over. So, and the meat's really good, so you can just pick what sauce you like.
They also, by the way, I'm throwing my own curveball out here, they have really good barbecue fish. Smoked fish, really good.
Do you know what kind of fish they use?
No, I'm not that clever, but, you know, but that's good, yeah.
That's you know, that's a different topic than today's show, but I'm kind of interested in where you can get good barbecue fish. I wouldn't be able to list very many places.
No, I wouldn't either.
Very interesting. Well, Matt, did you have any other recommendations?
Yes, and if you want to throw curveballs, I recommend Guy and May's in Williamsburg, Kansas for ribs. They have fantastic ribs.
Okay, so I see none of the critics are acknowledging that they recognize this, but I do, Matt. I actually stopped there on the way to Symphony in the Flint Hills last year. Guy and May's Tavern, I think, is the name of the place. And it is, they are the best ribs I have ever had.
Yes, they are.
How would you describe the decor of the place, Matt?
Oh, it's old school. It's old school for sure. It's been there a long time.
Old school dive bar is what I would describe.
Old school dive bar. Mm-hmm. The last time I was in there, I think they still had the jukebox from back when I was in my teens. They've been there a long time, and it's really good ribs.
All right, Matt. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the recommendation.
Thank you.
There is something, I think, about the places that are off the beaten path when you're talking about something like ribs, the places that are not iconic but are, in fact, sometimes the person's best experience they've ever had. Are there off-the-beaten-path places that occur to you guys?
Yeah, there is one. I have to look up the name of it, but I went many years ago, and I actually had pretty good ribs up there. It's in Excelsior Springs, and it's pretty well known. It starts with a W.
Is that the one near the railroad station?
Yeah.
Someone mentioned that on social media, I think. Wabash Barbecue.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Wabash, yep, exactly.
It's very good.
And I've had their ribs, and their ribs is pretty good. And that was an unexpected find. It's in the middle of... to me, kind of a little bit of nowhere.
Excelsior Springs. Yeah. It's a bit of a drive if you're coming from
downtown.
Yeah,
well, and even just where it is, it's a little bit, you know, unexpected.
Any others come to mind for you, Mary, or Charles?
Not in around Kansas City.
Of the place in Lawrence, not on Massachusetts, but elsewhere. I've written about it, too, and it's out of my mind. But it also had very, very, very good ribs. It'll come to me, or one of the callers will tell us.
Well, I'm sure they will. Let's take another break. KCUR Central Standard will be back in just a second. And when we come back, we will take more of your calls as well as your recommendations from Twitter. 816-235-2888 is how you can join the conversation. Where do you go for ribs in Kansas City? On Twitter, we're at KCURCST. Where and why? I'm Brian Ellison. Don't go away. KCUR Central Standard is your place for ribs today. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Gina Kaufman. And the food critics are here too, Charles Ferruza, Mary Block, Bonjwing Lee. And you can be here at 816-235-2888. Tell us your top choices for pork or beef, short or spare or baby back. You can also tweet at KCURCST. You know, we talked just briefly about Chinese spare ribs and how there's a different style of cooking in various Asian cultures of ribs. What are the key differences? Bonjwing?
I think a lot of Chinese people like to steam or boil their ribs. Growing up, I know that sometimes my mom would make it with soup, just use it and just stew it, and you wouldn't actually really eat you would eat the meat, but it was more for the flavor that it would give to the soup. But also steamed. A lot of them steamed, like the ones that I described my grandmother made.
Are there places in town that stand out to you guys as the best places for ribs cooked in Asian traditions?
Well, you know, Chinese-style spare ribs used to be a real staple of both Chinese and Polynesian-style restaurants. Not that we have many Polynesian-style restaurants anymore.
Sadly.
Yeah, but you could still find a good poo-poo platter in Kansas City. Not as easily as it used to be.
Which I remember loving to order as a kid, but only because it was called a poo-poo place.
Yes, and I still find the fact that they exist to be a fabulous thing. Mm-hmm. My favorite poo-poo platter, if you want to venture east, is at the old Steam Bowl restaurant on Independence Avenue.
Okay.
And, it still comes with that little brazier, with a little blue flame coming out of it. And not everything on that assortment of poo-poo dishes is that tasty, but they do have great spare ribs. And one of the things I do love about Chinese spare ribs that'll probably affect me, like my years of smoking, is that they have to be made, or they're traditionally made with red food coloring.
Well, I think that the ones you're talking about, like the traditional Cantonese tarsu, they are bright red.
Yeah.
Red around the edge.
No, they're
well, red. Red all over. But on the outside, yeah.
They have a red glaze, too. I mean, of course, as a kid, I they looked a lot like cherries. So, of course, I loved them then. But, the spare ribs I remember from the good old days of poo-poo platters were very meaty. And it's hard to find meaty Chinese spare ribs. But if you can find a poo-poo platter, they're the highlight of the dish.
Very good. Let's talk to Brandon in Kansas City for his favorite ribs. Brandon, welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for calling. What's your favorite?
Okay, I'm kind of surprised actually nobody's mentioned it. I have a couple actually. One would be Q39.
Mm-hmm. On 39th Street.
Yeah. I just think they're. People have been talking about Joe's being consistent, and it really hasn't been for me lately, especially the one on Row. And Q39 is really consistent for me, so that's number one. And number two would be Slaps.
Slaps. Where is Slaps?
KCK.
Okay.
Not exactly sure the address, but...
I think it's on 7th Street, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. And you have to get there early if you want ribs because they sell out really, really quickly. And those guys, the Pierce brothers who run Slaps, they're award-winning barbecue masters. And I think everything at Slaps is really, really good. But, man, the ribs are great. And, like I said, they tend to sell out pretty quickly.
Isn't there a handle for barbecue competitions, Squeal Like a Pig?
That's what SLAP stands for, Squeal Like a Pig.
Oh.
Which, of course, is a reference to Deliverance.
All right. And we'll look at the time. I think we need to move on to another call. Thanks for calling, Brandon. Let's actually talk to Steve in Grandview. Steve, welcome to Central State.
Hi there.
Tell us, where do you go for ribs?
Well, for just my favorite, Oklahoma Joe's, I don't think you can beat them. But... I can't drive down Ward Parkway at lunchtime and not turn into McGonigal's Market.
Mm-hmm.
They've always got the smoker out at lunchtime, and I don't know the technical difference between smoked and barbecue, but their ribs are incredible. And you can smell them for a mile around.
Well, that's a cheap trick to put the smoker right out front, and so everyone has to stop because they can't get away from it.
I think it's a pretty legit trick. So I impulse buy there all the time. Well, and then another restaurant I discovered that's got a very special treatment of baby back ribs is Cacao.
Cacao. Hmm. Where is Cacao?
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. They're a fairly new restaurant.
Oh, that's a Korean restaurant. Wait.
No, it's Mexican.
Oh, Mexican Cacao, over in... Yeah.
It's more of a Latin-influenced restaurant on 95th Street, just east of Knoll.
Okay. And they have a good rib.
Oh. Tremendous ribs, and I had a filet last night that was served in a chocolate ancho chili sauce that was one of the best steaks I've had in Kansas City.
Wow, good to know. Thanks for the tip, Steve.
A wonderful restaurant.
Appreciate you calling in. Steve mentioned McGonigal's, which is, of course, does sell food, sandwiches and things at lunch, but is, of course, a butcher shop as well. Mary, are there places around town for folks who want to cook ribs themselves that you would recommend?
There are three I would recommend. McGonigal's is one. The Broadway Butcher Shop is another on, obviously, Broadway.
Yes.
And Stuart Aldridge, who owns it, is a great proprietor. And, he will not only tell you what cut you want, but he'll help you know how to cook it.
Right.
So if you
Which
say
would be helpful to someone like me for sure.
If you want short ribs, he'll tell you how long to cook them, and if you want ribs, he'll give you an idea of preparation. And then the third is a local pig. And Alex Pope is great, too, and he'll give you the same kind of personal service.
Are there other butcher shops that come to mind for you guys? No.
She got them all for me.
Got the big ones.
Well, the other one would be Bicklemyers.
Bicklemyers, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, over in KCK.
Mm-hmm.
We had a recommendation from someone on Twitter who recommends Johnny's in Mission for ribs as a good option. They also asked a question: what would be the place that would have less sugar in their sauce? A lot of Kansas City barbecue sauce, obviously pretty sweet.
Yeah, that is a hallmark of Kansas City sauce.
Arthur Bryant's.
I think Arthur Bryant's the original, and that's maybe why I don't care for it.
Well, it's
very heavily spiced too, though. Right. It's got a lot of paprika. It's kind of a little bit bitter as well.
Very good.
And also, I think LC's, what I do like about their sauce is that it's particularly vinegary. It's more tangy, and I like that acid with all the fat in their barbecue.
Very good. 816-235-2888. Let's talk to Craig in Lee's Summit. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
What's your favorite?
The lamb ribs at Jack Stack.
The lamb ribs at Jack Stack. Why so much? Why do you love those?
I don't know. I got the platter there to sample them all and just fell in love with the lamb ribs. Excellent.
If someone has not had lamb ribs before, Craig, how would you describe the difference from a pork rib or a beef rib that they're more familiar with?
That's a good question. I'd say just try it.
Well, you're going to refuse to answer their question.
I will finish what you don't eat. So just.
I think for me, lamb ribs traditionally give you the sort of meatier, less fatty kind of texture of beef, but they're smaller.
They're more,
obviously, they're smaller.
They're richer tasting, too.
Yeah, and they also have that lamb flavor to them. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much, Craig, for the call. Hey, before we're done here, Bonshwing, I want to ask you. I know you've traveled around a bit recently. Obviously, there's different styles of barbecue in different parts of the country. Memphis, Texas. You've been in these places. How do they do ribs differently than we do them around here?
I was actually just in the Memphis and May barbecue. I think it's called the World Championship of Barbecue Competition down in Memphis. And they like their ribs dry there, so it's all rubs. Yeah. And, you know, when you go in, they ask if you want them wet or dry, and locals will order them dry, but they are happy to provide sauce for if you like. And then also down in Texas, they do mostly beef short ribs, a lot mm-hmm. of beef, and rub them with a lot of black pepper spices, and they just serve this ginormous fist of beef short rib meat barbecued smoked. Yeah.
Does it tend to be a spicy rub, or is it
In Texas, generally black pepper is what I'm familiar with. Yeah,
I would say peppery.
And
too.
As far as Memphis, no, not so much. They're very. I actually found the Memphis ribs I had to be similar to Kansas City glazed ribs, just without the sauce.
Right. I think of Memphis barbecue as sort of tangy.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
And Texas, talking about dinosaur portions, you order your ribs by the pound. Basically, you could get one, you know, if you say I want 2 pounds, you could end up with just 2 ribs, but there's so much meat on them.
Well, everything's bigger in Texas.
Exactly.
816-235-2888. Let's talk to Jeff in Osawatomie. Jeff, welcome to Central Standard.
Well, thank you very much. I would like to suggest an off-the-beaten-path place, We Be Smoking in Osawatomie. It's actually at the Miami County Airport. And is also the place where President Obama stopped and ate lunch when he visited Osawatomie about 6 years ago.
That's right. He gave a big economic speech in Osawatomie, and he stopped for barbecue. I didn't realize that.
Yes. Lots of memorabilia from his visit, and also lots of cheese memorabilia. But the ribs are to die for. They're very tender. And barbecued beans, which are so loaded with rib meat that they are really a meal in themselves also.
Hmm. That's a good tip, Jeff.
What's the name of that place again?
We Be Smoking.
It's at the Miami County Airport, halfway between Osawatomie and Paola. It also is right across the road from Midway Drive-In, so it's one of 6 or 8 drive-ins in Kansas. So be a great place for a family outing to go eat some ribs and then go see a drive-in movie.
Thanks so much for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you much.
Let's try to take one more. Let's talk to Van in Leavenworth. Van, what do you recommend?
I recommend a place called All Slabbed Up in Leavenworth, Kansas.
I have been there. That is a very popular choice. It's hard to get a table sometimes at lunch, I'll tell you.
It's a great place.
It sure is. It's tough at times. But they've got great food. I've used them to cater a party for me. I've eaten there many, many times, and I'm just very pleased with their barbecue.
And is it, how would you describe that flavor? What's so good about it?
Just everything about it. It's a little bit smoky, a little bit sweet. Just exactly what I need for my taste.
Well, Van, thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Well, I realize we're coming to the end of the program, and I haven't even begun to touch on McRibs. I was just trying to get a reaction out of our critics.
That actually would be perfect for you because you don't like to get your hands dirty.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are actually no bones in there, so be the perfect way for you to get them.
Probably no real meat either.
I am actually hurt that you have suggested that McRibs would be perfect for me, but I guess we'll go on. Well, I'm afraid that means that our time is up. I want to thank our critics for being here today. They are all on Twitter as well. So Bonjwing Lee, the Ulterior Epicure blogger, photographer, thanks for being with us. What's your Twitter handle?
It's at Ulterior Epicure.
Mary Block, as always, great to see you.
Great to see you, Brian.
Where are you on Twitter?
At MSBLOCH.
All right, very good. And Charles Ferruzzo, The Pitch, always a pleasure.
Don't ask me my Twitter handle. I can't remember it.
Okay. Well, we'll find it, and people can find it online, I'm sure. You can listen back to this show, and you can check out the long list of ribs that we've put together at kcur.org/centralstandard. We'll have that ready by the end of the day for all your Memorial Day weekend needs. That's kcur.org/centralstandard. You can keep the conversation going on Twitter. We're at KCURCST, and I'm at PTS Brian. You can keep right on tweeting into Monday, because we're off for Memorial Day. Gina Coffin will be back Tuesday with a look at the hip-hop generation now all grown up. KCUR Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross, with Fridays by Jen Chen. We get lots of help from intern Glenn Frizzell. Linda Scher, Hannah Copeland, Ron Yerman, and Bill Anderson all had turns at the board for us this week, and our music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Brian Ellison. Have a great holiday weekend, everybody.